Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiwitz, and today we'll be studying Sefer Zechariah, Perek Bet, Chapter 2. Now, we saw this last time in Perek Aleph that the primary goal of Zechariah is to give the people encouragement. Times are difficult. These are people who have chosen to leave the exile and come back to Israel during difficult times. The economy is poor. They're living in poverty, and they're starting to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, but they're also disappointed with what the potential of the Beit HaMikdash will be given their own reality. So Zechariah is coming to give them comfort and encouragement. And even though times are difficult, he's telling them, and this is a recap of Perek Aleph, that Hashem's anger, the Ketzef, is over, and now Hashem has returned to Yerushalayim with Rachamim, with mercy. Now, Zechariah can be broken down into two major chunks. And the first section is chapters 1 through 8. And in that section, primarily, we have visions that Zechariah sees. And last time we saw the first vision, and today in Perek Bet, we'll see visions number 2 and 3. And there's 7 in total, which we'll talk about the significance of that. But before we go into the next vision, I want to mention that these visions are a very unique style. They're incredibly esoteric. Zechariah witnesses them. He often does not understand them. He has an angel who's speaking to him, who helps him to parse it out, even after the angel explains. Sometimes we still don't understand. And there are some that we understand better than others, but they're written in a very esoteric style. Rashi actually says it's really difficult to understand them. We'll only understand them at the time of Mashiach. Radak, just to give you a perspective of where this is coming from, Radak on the visions says, I'll just read you a short quote from it. He says, Marot Zechariah stumot ma'od, kimarot Daniel, velokin marot shar ha'neviim. So he says the visions of Zechariah are very hidden, very difficult to explain, very similar to the visions of Daniel. And it's different than the visions of the other prophets. And we'll see that as we read through them. And his Radak's explanation is, Ki koach ha-nevuah hayta holechet v'dala mimei ha-gola. The ability for prophecy was receded during the time of the exile. And actually, we know that Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi are the last three prophets. So therefore, lo baru et devarehem, their words are not fully explained. Velo hevinu hamarot, right, kasherehem. We don't fully understand all of these visions. So we go into this. I just say this also. We'll go into this, and some will be more understandable than others. The two that we're going to look at today are very powerful. Okay, so the first vision of this parak, which is actually the second vision of this series of visions, Pasuk Aleph. Ba'asa et einai, okay, first person, Zechariah speaking, I lifted my eyes, ve'era v'hinei arba kranot, and I see before me 4 horns. So he says, va'omer el hamalacha doverbi, and I said to the angel who's speaking to me, who's helping me to make sense of these visions, Ma'ela, what are these horns? And presumably, by the way, these are horns like of kind of like an animal that's destroying. So he sees these 4 horns of an animal that could use those horns to destroy. Vayomer Eli, so the angel says to me, to Zechariah, Ela hakranot asher zeru et Yehuda et Yisrael v'Yerushalayim. These are the horns that were used to scatter Judah, Israel, Yerushalayim. So these 4 horns represent kind of the enemies, the people that put the Jewish people into galut, into exile. And the significance of 4, many of the parshanim explain it as the 4 kingdoms that are discussed in the book of Daniel, who have oppressed and will oppress the Jewish people. Okay, Pasuk Gimel. Vayirini Hashem arba charashim. So then Hashem showed me 4 craftsmen who work with metal. Pasuk Dalid, va'omar ma'ila ba'im lasot. I said, what are these coming to do? What are these craftsmen coming to do? And now Hashem responds, Vayomer lemor, Ela hakranot asher zeruat Yehuda, kefi ish lo nasa rosho. Those horns that we just saw, that were responsible for scattering and throwing Judah so that no one was able to even lift their face, meaning in physically in shame, Vayabo Ela lachridotam. So these metalsmiths are coming to cause them fear, to put them in panic. Liadot et karnot ha-goyim hanosim keren el eretz Yudal zrota. And they're coming to break down the horns of the nations that put Bnei Israel into exile. So Zechariah's vision is, he originally sees four horns that were accused of battering the Jewish people, destroying them, putting them into exile. And then Hashem shows him four metal craftsmen who will destroy those horns. Okay, next vision. Ve'asa enai ve'era v'hine ish u'biado chevel mida. So once again, Zechariah raises his eyes and he sees a person, and in his hand is a measuring tape, a measuring line. Pasuk vav v'omar, and I said, Anata olech, where are you going? Vayomer elai, and he said to me, Lamod et Yerushalayim, lirot kama rachma v'kama arka. I'm going to measure Jerusalem to see its width, to see its length. It sounds like in order to be able to rebuild the city. And we know that the city is actually still in a state of destruction post the exile. And although they have returned, the city still does need to be rebuilt. In Pasuk Zayin, v'hine malach ha-dover b'yotzei v'malach acher yotzei l'krato. So now the angel, the one that speaks to me, and many of the parshanim assume that this was the man who was measuring the city. And then another malach, another angel, comes to speak to him, v'yomer elav, and he tells him, and then tells him to tell Zechariah, Rutz diber al hana'ar halaz limor, prazot teshev Yerushalayim. Mirov Adam ubehima betocha. Jerusalem will be an open city because of all the people and all the animals that live within it. Meaning, Jerusalem will be so filled with people. And I just want to mention here, and I think we said this in a past class, that although people did come back for Shivat Zion, for the return, the numbers were small, and it wasn't the anticipated number that came back. The Gemara criticizes them for not coming back in waves. And so most of the Jews have stayed in the Persian exile. So this prophecy that Jerusalem will be open because there'll be so many inhabitants there is a very powerful prophecy saying, look at how many people are going to end up coming. And the fact that there'll be so many animals signifies that the wealth and the development and the economic prosperity that's potential here. And Pasuk Tet, Hashem continues and says, yes, the city will be open. V'ani eyela ne'um Hashem chomat ish saviv ulechavod eyeh betocha. But I will be their protection because I will be like a wall of fire around them, and my glory, my shechina, will be within the city. Rabbi Chaim Angel has an interesting reframe here, which is that he says that one of the things that people were so humiliated about was that Jerusalem, which used to be in all of its glory, is now destroyed. And we know that the walls were destroyed. Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, spent a lot of time talking about the rebuilding of the walls. So here, Zechariah is trying to reframe it for them, that the fact that the walls are broken down doesn't mean that you're not protected, or doesn't mean that you should feel humiliated and afraid, because there are positives of the walls not being built up. Now it can fit all the masses of people that are going to come. And not only that, you still have Hashem who protects you. Okay, so this second vision is then followed by, there's a few kind of short messages, not one of these larger framing visions that Zechariah has, but a few short messages. In Pasuk Yud and Yud Aleph, there's a push from Zechariah to the people to come back to Israel and to leave the exile. In Pasuk Yud, he says, "Venusu me'eretz tafon ne'um Hashem." Hashem is telling you should run away. You should try to escape from the north. And then in Yudalith, very similar, Hoy Tzion, right, Tzion, call to them, you should listen to them. Himalti Yoshevet Bat Bavel, all of you who are sitting in the Babylonian exile, you should escape. And the language is very poignant because we know that the people in Babylonia, the people in the exile were dragging their feet. They were comfortable there. It was hard to leave. Life was actually more prosperous and in some ways felt easier to stay in the exile. So here, Zechariah is trying to reframe it to them. He's saying, no, you shouldn't think about like, I don't know, is this better? Should I go? Can I stand? He's saying, no, you should run away from the exile. After that, this is followed by that kind of call of the prophet of escape, go away, leave Babel, is then followed by reassurance. And the reassurance is that, don't worry, Hashem will protect you. And in Pasuk Yud Bet, Zechariah tells them, again, the words of Hashem, ki hanogea bachem, nogea bevat eno. The person, anyone who touches you, it's like they touch the pupil of their own eye, which is obviously a painful experience. So Hashem is saying, if somebody touches you, they themselves will be hurt. And the Mefarshim here, the Midrash says that really, this is a tikkun sofrim, like it was changed by the scribes out of respect for Hashem. But really what it meant to say is, what it should have said is, ki hanogea bachem, nogea bivat eino, bivat eino of Hashem. So that it should have said, ki hanogea bachem, nogea bivat eini, that it really should have said, Hashem was saying, anybody who touches you, it's as if they're poking my eye, meaning God's eye. And this is, according to the Midrash, was changed to be respectful to Hashem, not to talk about poking Hashem's eye. But the idea is if it's that, right, the pshat reading, right, the reading without the change would be that anyone who touches you will themselves be harmed. And here the second reading is that anyone who touches you actually is harming Hashem. And I think that's in line with the closeness that we hear in this section where Hashem is saying, I'm with you, I'm your protector, and I also feel your pain. Again, the last short piece here is Hashem's promise that the Shechina will return to Yerushalayim. He says in Pasuk Yud Dalid, Rani v'simchi bat Zion, you should be happy, you should exult. Ki hineni ba v'shachanti b'tocheich, Ne'um Hashem, because I'm here, I'm coming, and I'm going to dwell among you. It's the manifestation of the original discussion of building the Mikdash so Hashem can be shochein betoch the Mikdash. Hashem can be among it. And Hashem says, I'm here, and I'm coming, and I'm going to be within the Mikdash. And actually, then he says, not only that, in Pasuk Tet Vav, v'nilvu goyim rabim el Hashem bayom hahu v'hayu li la'am. There's a universal prophecy here, where he predicts that not only will Hashem rest in Jerusalem, but also all the other nations will come in order to bask in Hashem's Shechina. And it's reminiscent of really the utopian vision in Yeshayahu Perek Bet, chapter 2, where he talks about v'naharu alav kol goyim, that all the other nations will stream to Hashem. And here's another really beautiful a beautiful, like, kind of almost messianic manifestation, that it won't just be you. It will be that they will come, other nations will come at well, v'shachanti b'tocheich, and I will dwell among you. And ultimately, he says, in Pasuk Tet Zayin, u'bachar od b'Yerushalayim, Hashem will once again choose Jerusalem. And very powerful, given that the Jews are feeling unchosen. They're questioning whether Hashem actually wants them. Here Hashem says, no, I choose you. So to review, we saw today two more of Zechariah's visions. The first one about Hashem destroying the enemies, which are symbolized by these horns that will now be destroyed. And the second one about the impossibility of measuring Jerusalem because it will be so overflowing and filled with people, with animals. And then we're followed by a few short messages to the people, escape from Babel, Hashem will protect you, and ultimately a universal vision of the Shekhinah returning to Yerushalayim. So it's a parak really of comfort, a parak of optimism, a parak of trying to see the good. And within that is embedded this call, but you need to do it. You need to come back. You need to keep on hoping. You need to keep on seeing the good. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilo Nishmat, Gilbert Carcenti, Menachem Mendel Ben Saud.